You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
On September 11, 2001, Michael Hinkson and his guide dog, Roselle, were on the 78th floor of Tower 1 when the first plane crashed into the World Trade Center. Through smoke and confusion, Roselle led Michael down more than 1,400 stairs to safety before the building collapsed. Michael is grateful to be alive and has shared his story on shows like CNN's Larry King Live with Roselle by his side.
Oh my word, I did not watch that video until right now. Unbelievable story. Very excited to have Michael Hinkson on the program today. He is the New York Times best-selling author of Thunder Dog, the true story of how he and his guide dog Roselle escaped from Tower 1 on 9/11. During decades of walking with guide dogs, he had learned a surprising truth that helped save his life that day. Being afraid can be a positive thing, one that prepares us to deal with any situation that befalls us. Michael helps people get equipped for whatever obstacles or challenges we may encounter as we make our way through the world. Train ourselves to be brave, just like a guide dog's training equips handler and dog to prepare for the unexpected. And we will learn to use our natural fear reactions as a way to focus and concentrate to make better decisions and turn our fear into courage and confidence. His guide dog, 1,400 steps to lead him to safety. Unbelievable. Michael demonstrates how to biblically overcome fear and live courageously through awareness, preparation, perseverance, empathy, and faith. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm your host, Tina Griffin. It's all about positive role models this week with none other than public speaker Michael Hinkson. Michael, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much. And by the way, Roselle won the American Humane Association Award for Hero Dog in 2011. So that was good.
Unbelievable, and she should have. What a phenomenal story. I looked over some info on you beforehand, but I did not know that she walked you out of that building with 1,400 steps.
Well, actually, to be technical, and I think it's important that we talk about it a little bit, guide dogs don't lead blind people. The problem is people think that it's all the dog. The dog does everything, and I just kind of hold on to the harness, and that's not true. The reality is that the dog's job is to guide. And what I mean by that is the dog's job is to make sure that we walk safely. But I'm the one and the only one who should know where to go and how to get there. How do I know that? Well, you know, I don't know how you guys do it because you don't use a dog or a cane. So it's kind of strange to me. But the reality is that we all have techniques that we use to get information. And so it was my job, not only on September 11th, but whenever I travel with a guide dog, and now I use Alamo, my eighth guide, who happens to be a black lab, my job is to be able to give him or her directions such as left, right, forward, and so on. And then the dog's job is to make sure that we walk safely and don't fall off a curb or whatever. Or when we get to a street corner, and if there's a car coming and I don't hear it, the dog has the authority to not follow my command when I say go forward to go out in the street, because the dog sees the car coming going, I'm not going to get hit and I don't want my person to be hit, so I'm not going. They actually have the authority to do that. But it's my job to know how to go and where to go. And that's why it's important to say guide dogs don't lead, they guide.
Unbelievable. This, you're teaching me so much about this topic today. You have no idea. I'm literally know very little about this topic, which is rare for the topics we have in the program. That's why we had to get you in the mix. Now, you're the chief vision officer for Accessibee, a company that creates products to make websites more accessible to people with disabilities, and is also the National Federation of the Blind's ambassador for its National Braille Literacy Campaign. Tell us more about that.
Well, so in 2009, it was the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, and the National Federation of the Blind wanted to celebrate that. So one thing they did was we created a Louis Braille coin, and it even went into space. But we created this program to encourage people to read Braille and to learn Braille and to teach the public about Braille, because a lot of people, including, unfortunately, all too many teachers, have over the years said, well, there's a lot of technology available, such as computers that now talk and so on, and software that you can load on your computer. Say you don't need Braille anymore. And my response to that is, well, then why do teachers teach sighted kids to read print when all they ought to do is let them watch cartoons? You know, the reality is Braille is the reading and writing technology that's available to me. And no matter what you do with audio and what you do with computers that talk and so on, it cannot and does not take the place of Braille. And I speak from experience, having a master's degree in physics and a secondary teaching credential, and know how important Braille is and was to me. And we're seeing now technology that is being developed to enhance the use of Braille. For example, technology that provides what we call refreshable Braille displays. So I can put a computer file into one of these devices and dots pop up showing me the characters that are in the file.
Wow.
And traditionally, it has been like a single line of information, but now we're starting to see full-page displays, or at least multi-line refreshable displays. They're more expensive. The cost will come down. But the reality is that we're still right now in an environment where the literacy rate among blind people has dropped to 10% because too many schools and teachers aren't emphasizing Braille like they should. And so that's what the National Braille Literacy Campaign was about. And it is still something that I talk about a great deal.
Unreal. Do you mind taking us back to your birth, first couple years of your childhood? Were you born blind? Tell us your story about you being blind your whole life.
Gee, I don't remember that. Let's see. So I was born in Chicago, and I was born 2 months premature.
Wow.
And what happened was I was put in an incubator with a pure oxygen environment. By the time I was born, medical science had started to hear that a pure oxygen environment might not be the best thing unless there was absolutely no alternative, might not be the best thing for children because it could cause retinas to malform. Well, that's what happened to me. And the reality is it wouldn't have taken much time without a pure oxygen environment to keep the retina from malforming, but that isn't what happened. So I essentially became blind almost right from birth. Now, here's the important part about it.
Unreal.
When it was discovered that I was blind at about 4 months of age, because my Aunt Shirley, noticed that I wasn't reacting to bright sunlight, and again, in Chicago in our apartment, so my parents took me to the hospital, and the doctors examined me, and they said, yeah, he's blind, and here's why, and all that. And then they said the unfortunate, here's the term, big lie.
Right.
What they said is, no blind child can ever grow up to amount to anything or be a contributor to society, so you should send him to a home for handicapped children because he's never going to do anything except destroy the dynamic of your family and suck up all the love you have for your older son.
How
and
evil
parents,
is that?
It happens all the time, even today, Tina. It's nothing new. And it's something that we have to deal with. Blindness isn't the problem. The problem is the attitudes and misconceptions that people have about blindness. My parents told the doctors they were wrong and that they were going to take me home and I was going to grow up learning that I could do whatever I chose to do.
Yay!
And they brought me up with that kind of environment. All too many parents don't bring up children that way. Mm. And all too many people who go blind today, who become blind later in life, believe that their world is over because that's what we teach people in our society. And that needs to change. The reality is blindness isn't the problem. Blindness isn't what defines me. And that is as it should be. And the reality is that we really need to change our perceptions and recognize that blind people can do things like other people can do them. We may not do them exactly the same way. That doesn't mean that we are, unfortunately, a term that people use, differently abled. We're not differently abled. I have the same abilities as anyone else. I have different techniques that I use. But really, if we're going to talk about disabilities, you're disabled. Although I don't like that term, I would rather say you're a person with a disability. Mm-hmm. Your disability is that you're light dependent. Proof? Last year, I went to a hotel in the Los Angeles area, And at 3 p.m, while I and my niece and nephew who were with me were walking downstairs on a main staircase, suddenly the power in the whole hotel and the surrounding area went out. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is 3 p.m. People in the lobby started screaming and running around trying to find smartphones and flashlights so that they could have more light than what was coming in through the windows. Mm-hmm. You guys are light dependent and you don't get along well without light. But the reality is...
You were just fine.
Well, but the reality is Thomas Edison invented the light bulb in 1878 as a reasonable accommodation for light-dependent people to be able to function in the dark, if we use the Americans with Disabilities Act definition. And for the last 146 years, we've worked to just improve light on demand so that you people can cover up your disability more and more, and mostly you're able to do it. But it is all important to recognize, make no mistake, the disability is still there when the power goes out until you get light again. Disability is not a lack of ability. Now, some people say, well, of course it is because it starts with dis. Well, the last time I checked, disciple wasn't a negative term. Discern, discreet. You know, the reality is dis has nothing to do with it, sports fans. The reality is that disability is a characteristic that we all have. Every single person on the planet has. It manifests itself differently for different kinds of people with different needs, but the fact of the matter is we all have it. And so we need to start recognizing that just because some of us are different than most of us, it doesn't make us less than they are.
You just dropped 5 bombs in a row. You are absolutely correct, young man. More with Michael after this short word from our sponsors.
I only get one childhood.
Social media is taking it away from me. It makes us worry more. It makes us feel bad about ourselves.
I want my childhood back.
I want my childhood back. My childhood back.
Protect their childhood with Gab. Kids safe phones and watches with no internet, no social media, and no worries. Gab, safely connected.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before, with over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products. Taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded. RedemptionShield.com. Use code TINA and save 10%.
During these uncertain times, communication is critical. Make sure you can get in touch with your family and friends anytime, anywhere. Introducing Rapid Radios, the number one trusted source for staying connected worldwide. Our professional-grade walkie-talkies provide crystal-clear conversations and are 256-bit encrypted, ensuring ultimate privacy with unlimited range and 5 days of battery life. Unlike cell phones, our radios are not trackable or traceable. Best yet, there's no setup required. They're ready to use right out of the box. No contracts and no monthly fees. Don't delay. Get your radios today and use code TINA at checkout to save 10% at rapidradios.com. That's 10% off using code TINA at rapidradios.com. Free shipping for a limited time only. Whether you're at home or abroad, stay connected with confidence.
So diving in deep with your dogs, let's tackle that. Live Like a Guide Dog, phenomenal book. It focuses on the importance of bravery. Why is this topic so important?
Well, first of all, just a real quick comment. My wife was in a wheelchair her whole life, and it was a great marriage. She read, I pushed, worked out really well. We were married 40 years. And she passed away in 2022. Mm. But to go back to Live Like a Guide Dog, at the beginning of the pandemic, I realized that as a public speaker, I've been traveling for almost 20 years at that time, talking about the World Trade Center, talking about trust and teamwork and leadership, talking about escaping from the World Trade Center, talking about, on a speech I love to give entitled Moving from Diversity to Inclusion, because diversity people always talk about that whole disability thing if they talk about us at all, and they don't. But the bottom line is, I realized I hadn't really started to teach people how they could learn to control fear. Mm. I learned to control it around the World Trade Center because I prepared for the possibility that we might have an emergency. And that created a mindset that clicked in me that in reality then took over when the emergency actually happened. Unreal. And the fact of the matter is, I realized that in what we need to be able to do is to control fear. And we can. Fear doesn't need to, as I put it, blind us or overwhelm us. We can use fear as a very powerful tool to direct us and keep us focused, which is what I did on September 11th. So I and a colleague, Carrie Wyatt Kent, began writing the book. We published it through Tyndale House. And all of us agreed on the title, Live Like a Guide Dog, True Stories from a Blind Man and His Dogs About Being Brave, Overcoming Adversity, and Moving Forward in Faith. And that's what the book is all about, learning to control fear, giving people lessons that I learned from all of my dogs that helped me recognize and learn how to control fear.
Carrie Wyatt Kent was on our program for the Restorative Rest series. She was phenomenal. I'm breathing deeper and longer because of Carrie. So Carrie, way to go, sister. Your insight, just phenomenal, that helped prepare you for a tragic event like 9/11. And who would have thought it would have been that tragic of an event? And yet your body was able to handle, and brain and mind handle, that scenario. Your book outlines various messages that you discovered from observing your guide dogs. Which lesson did you find the most difficult to learn?
Well, I think that we need to recognize what dogs can teach us. For example, dogs do love unconditionally. I am absolutely a firm believer in that, but they don't trust unconditionally. What they are, however, unless there is something that has truly directly affected them, is they're open to trust. And so you can develop that trusting relationship, which is what a guide dog team is all about. Dogs don't do what if. They live in the moment. So the bottom line is, while we're what-ifing everything and we worry about everything, especially all the stuff that we have no control over, the fact of the matter is we should worry about just the things that we can really influence and not worry about the rest of us, and train ourselves not to worry about the rest of it. And when we do that, then we're a lot calmer, we're a lot less fearful, and we work toward getting to the point where we can deal with what we really need to deal with. And that's what it's all about.
That you say it so simply, but I'm like wanting to hear you say that three more times over. So I'll be watching this interview myself about 10 times. So basically, we need to live like a dog.
Well, I think that we can learn lessons. We're not going to live like a dog, but I think we can take a lot of good lessons from the dogs and what they teach us. And I think that's the important thing that we have to do. You know, dogs don't worry about the things they can't control.
Right.
Dogs do live, as I said, in the moment. Unless something directly threatens them, they don't worry about it all. And we spend way too much time worrying about stuff that doesn't matter to us. Our politicians are just promoting fear all over the place. And I actually had an email correspondence thread yesterday with someone. And what I pointed out is that no matter what any of our politicians say on either side of the aisle, if you will,
yes,
we should be willing to go analyze for ourselves and not fall into the trap of, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And I don't care what politician it is and how firmly you believe in that person. You really need to check facts for yourself. And that will help train you to be more open to looking at things realistically. And it may vary, and I don't know whether it will change any political minds, but we need to do that. We need to check things out for ourselves. We'll be a lot less fearful, and we'll be a lot smarter if we do it.
I completely, wholeheartedly agree. You're just interviewing you today and listening to your tips as we're recording, as if I'm watching our own program, really absorbing what you're saying. I'm finding myself breathing deeper and relaxing more. So you could go into five different arenas for a career choice here. You mentioned the use of the guide dog command forward several times in the book. How does this word forward relate to your message?
When we were writing Thunderdog, I actually was at first wanting to use the word forward, but the marketing people at Thomas Nelson Publishing convinced me to use forward, and it obviously worked out very well since it became a number one New York Times bestseller. But so I think great. That we do need to move forward. God gives us that opportunity. God gives us the ability to make choices. And we're all part of God. I mean, if we're going to go back to the Bible, we're all children of God, and we're all made in God's image.
Image.
And we have the ability to listen to that voice inside of us.
The Jace case is a pack of five antibiotics. We put these antibiotics together very purposefully. They were curated in a way that covers the most common as well as the most deadly bacterial infections that you might encounter. In addition, it includes a guidebook to the safe use of the medications that is written in a way that's accessible for most people to be able to look up what their symptoms are and what the proper medication is to take. The idea behind the Jace case is to allow everyone to be better prepared medically, to be empowered to care for themselves.
Since the pandemic began, our healthcare industry has had to transform from receiving medication to physician visits. Everything changed. Jace Medical is dedicated to providing proper access to medications before you need them. This protects against issues during travel or disruptions with supply chains, natural disasters, and other emergency situations that have proven to overwhelm our healthcare system. Secure your own supply of medication with ease and peace of mind.
Use code TINA for a discount at jacemedical.com.
Hey, where's Eddie?
You didn't hear? She caught the scrolls.
You mean that thing where you're scrolling on social media and your hand turns into a claw and you waste hours of your life?
I've had it.
It's going around.
My neck still hurts.
I caught the scrolls last summer.
I missed my own birthday.
I missed my whole summer vacation.
I'm so sorry.
Stop the scrolls with Gab. Kids safe phones and watches with no internet, no social media, and no worries. Gab, safely connected.
Remember what grandma said, garbage in equals garbage out. Let's keep the garbage out in 2024 and put quality TV shows, movies, social media that is biblically based in our kids' brains. The Counterculture Mom app is loaded with these godly options. Want to figure out how to monitor your kids' activities online? Let our team of 20 do the work for you. We have many different easy-to-navigate sections on our app. However, the most popular is the pop culture alerts. Get timely pop culture alerts through our push notifications with the Counterculture Mom app. These daily notifications keep you updated about cultural issues that are trending, and many of which are dangerous for our kids to see. However, we pump out a ton of positive pop culture alerts so you have great entertainment options right at your fingertips. You can download the Counterculture Mom app at the Google Play or iTunes store and get our notifications right on your phone. Read the short alerts, apply your advice, and in turn, your children will know how to make their own wise media choices and develop a healthy worldview as a result. Win-win, people. The app is $5 a month, or we're doing a deal now for the entire year for $50. That funding helps us push out more alerts each week with our team of six just on the app and produce this show every single week. Don't forget to say yes to receiving those push notifications when you download the app. Happy navigating, people. Live like a guide dog. The true stories from a blind man and his dogs about being brave, overcoming adversity, and moving forward in faith. Hello. We can grab all over the place online here and your website, Michael Hingson, MichaelHingson.com. Tell us, what is in this phenomenal read?
Lessons, as I said, and as you've said, that are lessons I learned from my dogs about being brave and how to teach ourselves to be, well, to overcome fear and not let fear blind us and overwhelm us. It's all about that. And you get to read about actually nine different dogs, including my wife's service dog, Fantasia, who also happened to be the mother of my seventh guide dog, Africa. And you get to see their personalities and how each of them reacted and worked in different kinds of environments that we faced. But it's all about recognizing that you can be better than you think you are and that you can learn to control fear. That's something we also talk about on my podcast, Unstoppable Mindset. And it's also what I talk about when I travel and speak. And I would just say, if anyone is looking for a speaker to come and talk, I would be glad to interact with you. Just go to the website and there's a contact form. We'd love to talk about that as well.
Michael, you've been phenomenal. Everybody out there, watch all these episodes this week for positive role models. You are top of the list, Michael. You deserve to be on here. Praise God you survived 9/11. And everybody out there, watch that series as well.
And I hope people will buy Live Like a Guide Dog and then please go to Amazon and other places and review it. Your reviews are very important and we value them a great deal.
Yes, review that book. Michael, you rock. Keep at it. Can't wait to meet you in person, buddy. Everybody out there, thank you for supporting, praying for, and providing. CounterCultureMom.com for more info. If you want to jump on board as a partner, we'd love to have you. It'll help us get Michael's message out to the masses on even more platforms. Let's do this, people. Michael, keep at it.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over two decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences, and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit CounterCultureMom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.